Some people will say, I just don't have any intuition at all. Well, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you can access it, first of all, by muscle testing. As you further learn to muscle test, your knower knows first, sends that instant message, the response, like a biofeedback, intake and feedback.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I'm so thrilled to be with you here on another episode, and have I got a great guest for you. I'm so excited. I'm just going to talk about a couple other things first, that I am so thrilled that the show has been nominated for a health award, and thank you, guys of our community for making that possible to be nominating the show. It's been fantastic. And so thank you for that. And I'm excited about tonight because one of the things I've been exploring in the last 6 months is this idea of how food is portrayed in our world, and what I used to think was good food has turned out to be not so good for me. And that's what I want to talk tonight about with our guest, and because it's so critically important to understand what's good for us. And Lana Nelson is a speaker, author, intuitive nutritionist, and wellness educator, and she's the author of The Food Code, Intuitive Eating for Everybody. And thank you, Lana, for being on the show. I want to dive right in here to know about food. And, you know, sometimes I've heard the frame, and I become a believer of it, that food is medicine. But I want to go deeper into that concept because I think that's a little deceiving, too, that people think that just a piece of broccoli and bingo bongo, your headache's gone.
Yes. Well, Sharon, thank you so much for your invite. I am so happy to be here, and I know we're going to have a lot of fun with you and some good info for your listeners as well today. Thanks.
Well, what was the reason that you wrote the food codes?
Well, it's kind of a long story, if you'd like me to get into it. When I was in my, early 30s, I owned a dental lab, actually, and I was delivering dentures one morning to a prosthodontist, so someone could eat that, you know, speaking of food, so someone could chew and eat that day. And on my way, there was an accident in front of me in the road, and I slowed down. There was a semi-truck behind me who crashed into the back of me. Okay, so fast forward that about 10 years, and an immediate trip to the emergency room with head, neck, shoulder injuries, and I suffered 10 years of chronic pain. Very much suffered. My neck was frozen. I couldn't turn my head and my neck. I had pain from the top of my head to the bottoms of my feet. And I had a diagnosis of fibromyalgia, which in those days, just, you know, people didn't know what to do with you then. And so I went from neurologist to neurologist. And finally, one of them said, you know, I really think you should see a chiropractor. And about that time, this is mid-late 80s. I was, that's about the late 80s. But anyway, I started seeing a chiropractor. And I started doing natural, I went to massage about 3 times a week. And that helped a lot with the pain and the suffering I was going through. But it just, you know, didn't quite cut it all. So I started taking nutrition. Okay, I started really research nutrients, reading a lot of books. And actually, back in that day, massage was kind of weird. People were just starting to go to massage therapists.
Absolutely.
Natural medicine was really not heard of. A naturopathic doctor was kind of questionable in those days. And not mainstream, more like it is now. And yoga was really weird. Okay.
Yes, I remember that for sure.
And now it's just embraced and in hospitals and used everywhere. But I started searching out nutrition and natural methods. So I even started juicing. And I borrowed a juicer from a friend. And my first experience was juicing a whole head of cabbage, chewing up raw garlic as I gulped that down. And all I can say is never do that. It will shoot. And it will shoot back up on you really fast. But starting how my journey with nutrition started is that way, because I was suffering from migraine headaches and my head to the bottom of my toes. And then a nutritionist, like I said, a neurologist told me, I should think you should see a chiropractor. Well, I did. And I said to my friend one day, you're going to like this. I said to a friend, you know, I'm seeing a chiropractor 3 times a week. I should marry one. So we laughed, you know, just kind of, aha, as this would do. But guess who I was on a blind date with? A chiropractor who specialized in fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and things that people weren't touching in those days, you know? So actually, within about 2 weeks, I was not only swept off my feet by him, but I was also, he healed me with his methods. And his name was Dr. Bruce Nelson. And we joined forces. He had 6 children. I had 6. We joined forces. They called it the Brady Bunch times 2. But So fast forward, this is a story that I'm just a big, long story that I'm making smaller for you, but how I, with food. So I changed my profession eventually. I was so fascinated with Dr. Nelson's methods, his techniques of treating things naturally. And he had people come to his office in Montana from all over the United States and Canada who were in severe and chronic pain and illnesses that, you know, the medical profession didn't know how to work with. They were mostly sending people to psychiatrists saying, this is all in your head. As you've probably experienced that sort of a thing or heard of it anyway.
Oh, that's very common. It's very common, even back in the days of fibromyalgia that, well, you know, I'm going to say you're in pain, but it's also all in your head. And yeah. Part of me says, yes, maybe part of it's in my head, but I'm also feeling it.
Yeah, it's in my head because I've had this headache for 10 years.
Exactly.
Well, so in my husband was working with natural medicine, asking the person's body what was in the body, say a toxin or an infection that shouldn't be there, what was out of the body, let's say structural, and then doing clearing and balancing on people with his chiropractic profession. And I said, you know what? We need to add. So I started working in his office with him and doing some modalities. And I said, you know what? Food has helped me a tremendous amount as well. So I formulated a program for our patients to test them using muscle testing. I was also using some biofeedback technology, but using muscle testing to find out what their best foods were to help them literally eat their way out of pain. And so that is how my whole thing with the food codes in intuitive eating for everybody came about. I couldn't do food tests for everybody, so I put it into a book so you could do it for yourself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely fantastic. I've actually had some different tests done on my blood work and other things like that and come around to understanding that I have certain food sensitivities. And once I understood what foods were right for my body, even if other foods were in that healthy category, they weren't, processed foods, but people would look at them and go, well, that's healthy. But finding out that it wasn't healthy for me And that was the important turning point where I found a lot of my inflammation disappeared when I understood, okay, everyone, the doctors, I'm thinking of my gastroenterologist, that when I was telling him the kinds of smoothies I was making every morning, not juicing, but also getting the fibers, and then realizing that certain high quality things I was putting in there were actually making the inflammation worse. So that was a turning point for me when I was able
you
to see.
You are so right.
Yeah. So let's talk about intuitive eating and food sensitivities, because I think as I'm thinking about all the major places I've been to top clinics, and it wasn't until about 4.5 years into my healing, into my thriving, that someone mentioned to me, you are eating healthy on a sort of the traditional 30,000 foot view, but is it healthy for you? And it wasn't.
Exactly. You know, we have so much going on these days, information. The internet and the web is such an information freeway. You can have one study that says, oh, carrots are in carrot juice, or carrots are your best friend, or kale is your very best friend, and it's good for everybody to for that and the other. And then another study will come out and another expert will say, oh my goodness, stay away from carrots. They're going to make you, they do this and this, and do not eat kale raw because it will do that and that and that. But you know what? Your body knows exactly. And the interesting thing too is those things that are really good for you right now might change with the seasons. They might change with stress happening in your life. Something that you're, you know, they change from time to time. So our body, if you think about this, we're constantly interfacing with our environment, be it physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever's going on, whether it's a summertime or whether we are, you know, having relationship problems, our body's needs change with those stresses. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And we've had a guest on before that talked about eating seasonally and how often our grocery stores right now are the same foods throughout the whole year, that you can always go and get carrots or whatever it is, that there's no seasonality like how we're supposed to eat, is having foods change throughout the year. I found that fascinating too. So let's talk about how we discover which foods are right for us.
Okay, well, this is how I do it. And it's actually a way to access your intuition. And your intuition, your subconscious mind, or what I call your inner knower, okay, your subconscious mind is, if you think about this, your conscious mind is conscious of very little. The subconscious mind is all-knowing. It is in constant record on state. It records everything that's around us that we're unconscious of, really, or we're not conscious of, let's say. But our subconscious mind knows exactly what is going on inside of our body. If our colon is having some struggle, if our tissues need cleansing. So accessing our subconscious or our inner knower, how I do that and how it increases your intuition is via muscle testing or kinesiology. Kinesiology, have you done it yourself?
I know a little bit about it. I've had it done with me, and I've always felt like, well, that's interesting, but I'm not, have no clue how it works.
Well, how it works is you access the subconscious mind, which is an, let's say it's a binary computer. It can answer a yes or a no question. A binary computer is kind of like something that you might hook up, like a lie detector test. Okay, so your subconscious cannot tell a lie. And so you can access your subconscious mind via muscle testing by a strong or a weak muscle. So one of the things I do is notice my fingers. I hold my finger out straight, almost like it is an arm held out straight. And I say, give me a yes answer. So testing that, and my finger remains strong. Give me a no, and my finger will drop. So I can ask a yes or no question. So you can ask right now, are carrots one of my best foods? And you can get a yes or a no. So let's just ask myself right now, are carrots one of my best foods? And the answer is no. Okay, are apples one of my best foods? The answer is yes. So that's one way of accessing, and there are different ways to muscle test.
We're also on audio. I wanted to just point out that just stick your index finger out in front of your face, sort of, you know, like maybe about throat level, stick your index finger out, and then take your middle finger. And as you're asking that question, you begin to press down on your index finger. And that's the postures that we were doing there to ask those questions. And it's fascinating. I'm actually getting a response as I'm doing it this way. So that's what the pressing down was on. Yeah.
Yes, you can also use your arm. For instance, you might have seen muscle testing, and that's called self-testing, is when I test myself. And you might have seen two people standing next to, or your chiropractor might have you hold your arm out straight and say, give me a strong yes, give me a weak no, or say your name. Say, my name is Sharon, if your name is Sharon, and say, my name is Bob. And so you get a yes and a no answer that way. So you just determine first through, via muscle testing, and then you can ask, is this food good for me at this time? Is it not good for me at this time? So does that make some sense then?
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you added at this time. Oftentimes I hear people go through these, especially nowadays, these long lists of whole food groups. No, 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 no. And they're whole food groups. And I get to the point of, what is there left to eat? So
yes.
What do you suggest when people hear that from caregivers, like just discounting whole food groups without maybe even testing on them specifically?
You bet. Some people will say, oh no, always stay away from nightshades, or stay away from root vegetables. Or one of my mantras or my sayings is stop judging food. So stop judging food and test not necessarily groups. So you could test that root vegetables are not good for you as a whole, but carrots may be not a good food for you, but beet be a fantastic food for you. Potatoes are a root vegetable, and you might find that a white potato is not your best, but a red or a yellow potato is excellent for you. So with, you know, nixing whole food groups, that may not be as well. If you think about this, every food has its own DNA structure, just as every person does. Okay, so how do we test? How do we tell who we're related to? We can do DNA testing. But each food has its own DNA structure as well. So a yellow squash may have a different frequency or vibration to it than a green squash. So yellow squash may be so good for you right now, and a green squash may not be. Does that make some sense too?
Oh, absolutely. Now, I'm curious though, I've had people hold like a carrot and be able to say that they can tell whether this is right for them or not. How does that work? And is that related to kinesiology, where someone is holding something? Like,
yes,
our poor maligned carrot here.
Yeah. And I do like carrots, okay? So that used to be my go-to crunchy food. So yes, some people can hold it and just get the feel of it. That is your inner knower, that subconscious telling you, this interfaces with me. This is good. Some people can something and just like, ugh, that's just not good for me right now. So that's accessing your inner knower. And you can do that by holding something, by touching it, or by thinking about it. You can do it at a distance as well.
Fascinating, fascinating. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more about intuitive eating and understanding how food helps us heal. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star Reader's Favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach, and my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Lana Nelson, and she is the speaker, author, intuitive nutritionist, and wellness educator. And we're talking about her really cool book called The Food Codes, Intuitive Eating for Everybody. And that first part, we were talking about how do we know whether the foods are good for us or not. Now, I have a couple of questions about foods also. Maybe we've come and let's cheer up that poor malign carrot and say carrots are good for my body right now. I've muscle tested, yes. and it's saying yes to carrots. Is there a difference between a raw carrot and a cooked carrot?
Oh, that's so brilliant of you to ask. Yes, because here we have certain experts telling us raw food is what you need to heal, only juices or only raw food. And as an example, my husband and I went to a health clinic, and we ate wheatgrass juice, we ate only raw foods, we ate sprouts, and he absolutely soared. We spent a month at one of these clinics one time, and he soared, and I didn't. He lost weight, his skin was marvelous and stuff, and I feel like I'm getting sick. And come to find out, I needed more of the proteins and I needed cooked foods. My body was at a point in health where I needed more cooked than raw foods. Some science has shown that cooking foods can help make them more digestible. So that's another thing you can test. You can use muscle testing or kinesiology and your intuition as well to test what percentage of my diet do I need cooked or what percentage do I need raw? Or is this particular food more digestible for me? For instance, carrots, as we're using, sometimes carrots, you can, and tomatoes as well, you can utilize their nutrition better with some form of cooking with them. So, yeah.
Fascinating, because I was in that debate for a while too, and I found out for me, the condition my gut is in now, definitely need more cooked than I do raw. And I mm-hmm. think that's important for people to understand. 2 things, that this changes as you go through the different healing cycles and thriving cycles, that this will change for you, as well as everybody's not the same. I'm glad you brought up that your husband thrived and you not so much, because oftentimes I find people, and about the show, I bring on experts such as yourself and say, here's an interesting way to look at it, and it may or may not work for you because we're just all different. And I'm a huge believer that we know our bodies best.
Yes. Well, just as each one of our fingerprints, so are our nutrition needs are different as well, even in the same family.
That's So true. That's so true. What are some of your favorite first tips you give people after we do the kinesiology? And what is the number of suggestions? Like, how many foods should I have? I mean, is there even a number? Should I say, okay, I've tested 20 foods and I'll start with eating those? Or how do we jump into this?
Okay, that is such a good question. So in my book, I give you a link to an already, it's like a fillable document of, and it's whole foods, basically. It's many, many pages of general whole foods. And there's a little place where you can add it, any foods that are not in there. So testing, and you can test in two different ways. You can test, is this a good food for me at this time, and a bad food for me to this time? Put an X on it if it's a good food, put a zero if it's not a good food for you at this time, food that you should stay away from. But you can also test a food on a scale of 1 to 10. How good is this for me? 1 is not very good, and 10 is, wow, this is a good food. Those will be your X foods, okay? So you can test foods, and sometimes, here's what I've noticed. I'll give you an example of one client. In testing her foods, she found, and there could be lots more than 10 but she found that the foods that she needed to eat at that time, and this was about a year and a half ago, I'll say, her best foods were not many, okay? Several in each category. Some categories were very less than others, and she needed a lot of cooked foods. So that food program was appropriate for her body for, I think, 2.5 to 3 months. And she said, you know, I just really haven't missed those foods that I thought I would. She said her body started coming into balance. Her next food program, we found that she could eat many more foods than in the previous. And the food program after that, she could actually eat most foods. So allowing her body to heal between in that amount of time. And sometimes, like you mentioned, not eating a certain food and taking, you know, a food that someone else has told you that this is a really good food, you should do that because, and if that food didn't test good for you, eliminating that food, you can release inflammation and those things that are causing inflammation and so forth and pain in your body. So your how many foods that you can eat will vary. But following your food plan, it will show you your best foods and your not as good foods. Does that make sense?
Yes. And how often, you mentioned that this particular client was at about the 3 month mm-hmm. mark. How often should we retest?
Well, seasonally at least. But here's a very cool thing. You can say, oh my gosh, I have a run coming up. What do I need to get ready for this race? And I've got 6 weeks or so. What foods do I need to do this? Or I have a test coming up. I'm a college student. I have a test coming up. What are my best foods right now for studying and cramming? So you can do it for like, and I'm feeling, I need a short cleanse. What are the foods I need for the next 3 days or the next week? So you can test any amount of time. I mean, so you can test for a specific thing, or you can test for long-term. What do I need right now? What are my best foods? And how long are these my best foods? And so you'll get anywhere from a week to 3-4 months sometimes, usually about 3-3.5 months. But like I said, that can really vary. And sometimes you'll do a food program, it's for a week, and then it will change slightly. So does that kind of make sense? So you can do it in many different ways.
Yeah, and I'm curious that part of that was a non-yes or no question, like how many days, weeks, or months should I be on this? Do we ask it like, will this work for me for a week so I can turn it into a yes or no question?
Sure. Yeah, you can test. What do I need for the next week? So if you want to just, okay. Yeah, you really can. Or you can ask, what are my best food? You know, how, or you can simply start out by doing your food testing and then say, so how long is this plan good for me?
And then would I run through the days, like how long is this plan good
for? Oh, is this good for me?
And then if I get yes, can I have
for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks? You can ask. So that, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear on that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense now. Because I was like, all of a sudden, I was like, that's a non, that I have to turn that into a yes or no question there. Wow.
Thank you. So yeah, you can count days or weeks.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I'm this is a side note. I know since you're married and you mentioned you have a large family, what are some tips that you have for, I know this isn't really about food, but what are you have tips that you have for when you have a variety of competing food needs within a family? I've bumped into that myself.
I love that question because I do address that in my book as well. So here I've got a dozen kids. Right now I have 33 grandkids. I have a great grandkid and one on the way. So when we get all together and we do food, they actually test their own foods. So what do, let's say I'm having soups or stew. And let's say I have a grandson who is vegan. I don't put any meat protein in that soup or stew. I actually can put things on the side. Okay. You can have, and I give you lots of ideas in my book as to how to feed a crowd. You can have a salad bar and you have your general ingredients, let's say for a salad, but then you have your protein and then you can have some vegetables on the side and then you have some fillers. And so you can feed a crowd, and wonderfully, I do it a lot just by making not necessarily a one pot meal, but making a of food and then additives, things that you can add into, almost like a, you know, going to a smorgasbord, but it does not have to be hard or elaborate. Does that make sense?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because I couldn't imagine making 4, 5, 6 different meals.
No, no. And in a family, I have people say, oh, well, I can't even do this for myself and, you know, my partner or my son and my daughter. Like, how do I do that? And it's that way. In my book, I actually show you how to do the testing and then how to make your meal plan. But I have a recipe section, and recipes lightly put, okay? I have examples of how two families and a single person does it. Another family of two, but how they use the food codes and their foods to feed their family. Okay. So I give you examples of how these people do that and with a few recipes that they use and how they can, and ideas to tweak a recipe. And the very unique thing about how to use my book and how to use your food plan is I give recipe templates. Let's go back to that soup I was talking about. So a soup, not being you need 5 cups of broth, you need 4 carrots, you need 3 teaspoons of onion or something, parts. So let's say a soup, I would say you'd need like 4 parts of a liquid. You could use broth or you could use water. You need 3 parts of a vegetable, and this could be a cup of each. You need 2 parts of a protein. That could be a cup or a half a cup. So just as some examples. So all of the recipes I give you basically are using whole foods, and I teach you how, if you've never cooked before, if you've never followed a recipe, if you make it super duper simple by giving you lots of tips and how-tos. But recipes, so to speak, are in templates, so can be customed to what your best foods are right now.
Fantastic. Now, as we were talking about families, one thing popped into my head. I want to circle back around about muscle testing. How can we muscle test children? I'm wondering, you know, even can we muscle test really young children?
Great idea. Yes. So you don't have a baby, hold their arm out. And you can also, I teach you how to test for your pets. How do you test for your horse in the field, or how you test for your little dog Spot, or how you test for your goldfish, okay? So you can actually do self-testing. So you can test yourself. Intention is everything, okay? Intend that you are testing for, let's say, baby Jane. my little grandchild. I'm testing for this little grandchild to see what are her best foods right now. So you can ask, you can actually, you know, use any of the forms of muscle testing. Intend that you're tuning into subconscious and say, my name is Jane, my name is Jane. Okay, my name is now Jane. Am I testing for Jane? Am I testing for Jane? And get a strong yes. And then you can ask, are pureed beets good for Jane right now? Yes or no? Does Jane need this or that? And you can do the same thing for your pup. So is you can go to the grocery store and say, is this brand of dog food good for Spot? Is that their best thing right now? Yes or no? So that's a way you can even test for animals. And you could test for your animals out in the field, their feed needs. So you test yourself using yourself as the surrogate for the testing.
Fascinating.
Well, and here's a cool thing too. Small children can learn to do this really easy. And this is so funny because you can test for more things than food. You can actually use testing for a lot of things. My daughter sent me a picture yesterday of her two sons who actually have seen her doing muscle testing for food. And they were standing in front of the toy aisle. And she said, okay, you can each have a toy, but one toy. And she sent me a sideways view. Now, she didn't tell them to do this. They actually were testing, which toy will I like the most? And they were standing in front of the toy aisle testing them all, each one of them had, you know, was testing their own self as to which toy I'd like the most. I mean, that's kind of wild, isn't it?
Well, we'll have to report back and see how long that particular toy lasted. How interesting is that? My gosh, that's fascinating.
So you can use yourself as a surrogate for someone else.
That's amazing. Now, one of the things I'm curious about is this brought to mind, not that I've done testing, but what it brought to mind was there are a lot of times that I'm almost felt that, I'll use the word hit, I don't know what it is, I've almost felt the feeling, even without testing, where I've just had been overwhelmed by this thought, like, yes or no, like, no, put that bottle of whatever back on the shelf, this isn't for you. And I'm assuming it's the same sort of conduit or connection where I get these unusual feelings, like, I don't know what that's about, but no, I'm going to put that back on the shelf.
That is your inner knower working at its finest, okay? Some people will say, I just don't have any intuition at all. Well, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you can access it, first of all, by muscle testing. As you further learn to muscle test, your knower knows first, sends that instant message. The response, like a biofeedback, intake and feedback. So the response of your, what you experienced was no, that went then to your muscles, okay? And gave you, so that inner feeling went, no, put that down. That is your inner knower, your subconscious saying that. And so with, you know, when we're talking about muscle testing, you know it first and the immediate response to your muscle of that yes or no is the biofeedback part. And you can just get so good that basically it's like you go to reach for something and your inner knower goes, okay, I won't do that. So yeah, you're right on with that.
A lot of nutritionists, doctors and things, it tell us to keep a food journal and to write down, you know, what you ate, did you have a reaction to it? Is something like that helpful in confirming? I'm wondering if that would almost give me some extra outside confirmation that my inner knower was right on. What's your thoughts about food journaling?
I think it's wonderful. How did I feel when I ate this? Now, one thing you could test for a food, this is really good for me. It could be a food you're allergic to. It could be something that you really hate. You can't stand it. I just can't eat it. I'm sorry. But so if that is the case, then find out, you know, Google it and see what that food, what the nutrition in that food. So if you've eaten something that does test good for you and it's like, oh, I didn't feel really super good after eating that, the journaling is extremely helpful. And so that will tell, and then you would just definitely see why is that testing good for me? Do I need some extra C's? Is that food high in B's? You know, so that could be very beneficial for food journaling And how do I feel after eating that food?
Now, I've heard everything from just moments to 4 or 5 days to know whether a food is not the proper food for us at this time. What have you found? Because I wouldn't remember, even with a food journal, whether I'll just use that poor maligned carrot. Carrot caused a feeling of the pain when I'm walking, or was it anything I ate before or after that? So what are your thoughts about when we're trying to uncover whether a food, for whatever reason, is causing some inflammation in our body, being able to pinpoint what was the guilty carrot?
You can ask. You can ask your subconscious mind. It does remember what you ate a week ago, even if you don't. And you can say, is this feeling that I'm having right now due to something I have eaten? May or may not be. So you can get a yes or no answer. Is it something? So let's say it's something I've eaten that's bothering me. Okay. Did I eat this yesterday? Did I eat it the day before? So you can ask those kind of questions of your inner knower. So you can actually do that. Mm-hmm.
So then if it said, no, this isn't anything you ate, I guess I could go through another list like, well,
yeah.
If I need new shoes.
Yes. Yes. You actually can. You can access. So I work with people on a daily basis of testing their food, but I also work with them on testing imbalances in the body. And so is this a pathogen that's bothering me? Is this a toxin that is bothering me? Is this a misalignment? So you can use muscle testing in many, many different ways to access answers from your unconscious, your inner knower. You bet.
Okay. Fascinating, fascinating. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more about intuitive eating and understanding how food helps us heal. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Lana Nelson, and she is the speaker, author, intuitive nutritionist, and wellness educator. And we're talking about her really cool book called The Food Codes, Intuitive Eating for Everybody. A question about this, maybe, as you say, you work with clients all the time. I'm curious about if we don't feel like we want to do that, or we feel like we'd like a little port during this thing, how do we know someone who's good in kinesiology versus...
You bet. Well, there are medical doctors using kinesiology these days. There are neurologists use it a lot, actually. There are in your area, you know, you could find someone in your area, for instance, nutritionist who uses kinesiology. A lot of nutritionists, homeopathic doctors, a lot of people are using kinesiology these days, chiropractors, and you can find people online as well. So just search. You can learn to do it yourself. As
remembered, you mentioned that sometimes people say, oh, I just don't feel up to it, or I don't feel confident around it. And knowing that you've got somebody competent to guide you through this process is awesome. And I know a lot in your book, you talk about the word diet. So we're just down to about the last 9 minutes or so, but I want to talk about how you view the word diet, because that is just thrown around like all these different, the Mediterranean diet, blah, 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 as a kind of these fancy words. But let's talk about how you use the word diet.
It's almost become a swear word. Eh? It really has. Or you're on a diet and you're off a diet. Diet has come to be used in our culture as starvation and deprivation. And so it brings up a lot of fear. And our grandmothers grew up dieting. Before that, people ate intuitively. They ate seasonally. And so with diet, actually diet simply means what you're eating. It doesn't mean to starve, or it just means what you're eating in your life. So in my diet, I am eating this, but I'm not on a diet. So diet would simply mean what you're eating, the things that you like to eat or not. But starvation and deprivation is what is the term that we use these days as far as you're on a diet or you're off a diet. Does that make sense? But diet in the word itself means starvation or deprivation. It simply means those foods that you're eating right now.
I like that, because there's something about, I saw a little meme the other day that had the D-I-E of diet circled and the H-E-A-L of health circled, so die and heal. And I was just like, yeah, that really makes a nice little meme. Yes. There where I could see the D-I-E of diet, and I shook my head in a silent agreement about that one. We're just down to the last few minutes. Share with us anything that you would love to share that we haven't covered yet, and then where we can get your book and more information about working with you.
In my book, I also teach you, and one of the things, my book actually is not as much about food as relationship. So your relationship with food actually is the first relationship you've had on this planet, okay? When you were a tiny baby developing in the womb, you took food from your mother if that you needed. And when you were born, you were put to suckle on the breast. As you grew up, you knew what food you like and what you didn't. If you try to shovel something into a baby's mouth that they don't like, it's like splatter back, or if they're not hungry. So we need to get back to our roots of when we were babies, understanding really what we do like, what we don't like, learning. And I teach you I give you some exercises in the book to know when you're hungry and know when you're full. You can actually muscle testing as you're eating to say, okay, now I'm full at a certain, like a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, or I'm hungry at a 5, 6. So I teach you, learn when you're hungry, learn when you're full. It's something we have to remember. Stop eating when you're full and eat only when you're hungry. That doesn't coincide with like 3 meals a day. So get back to your beautiful relationship with food that you don't D-I-E. A quick story. How I figured this one out, I had made a little cup of soup one day, and I thought, I'm going to eat until I am full. So I'm going to test this out, because I was writing about it in my book. And so I got a cup of soup. I think it was chicken noodle. And I started eating it one sip at a time, very sweetly. I just like, oh, this is so good, enjoying it. All of a sudden, I had about an inch left in my cup, and my inner knower, it was almost like a clunk that happened inside my body that went, I'm full. And I felt it. It was noticeable. And I looked down into my cup and I thought, I could just finish this off. There's just a little bit left here. I honored my inner knower, okay? I got up and I poured the rest of that soup down the disposal. It was like I was set free. absolute freedom. It felt so good. So I teach you how, on a scale of 1 to 10, when you are eating, you could take a few bites. Because if you eat really fast, it's like all of a sudden, oh, I'm so full. I'm way too full. And you overeat. So as you're eating and enjoying it, then start testing. Am I full on a scale of 1 to 10? What is it right now? Oh, I'm at about a 3. Oh, now I'm at about a 4. I find, and I've done this with a lot of experimentation, that if I eat to about a 5 or a 6, sometimes even a 7, I am totally satisfied and loving my life afterwards. No indigestion, but feeling really good. And so then you can test, later on, am I hungry? Am I really hungry? You know, you go to the fridge, you open it several times, and am I hungry or am I bored? You know, what is this? So you can test, am I hungry? No, really not. Am I thirsty? Maybe yes. So I show you and teach you how to do that in my book. So where you can find me is thefoodcodes.com. I have a wonderful blog that teaches you a lot. And I suggest to stop the word diet, the D-I-E, as you mentioned before. But my book is about relationships. It is a relationship that you have with food and your best foods, okay? So getting back into that wonderful relationship that you had, baby, knowing when you're hungry, knowing when you're full, eat when you're hungry and stop when you're full. And I teach you how to know that. I give you actually some really fun exercises in my book. So back to that. And you can find my book also on Amazon. So Amazon.com and thefoodcodes.com is how you find me. And thank you so much for today. It's been a joy to be with you here today and love speaking with you. I love all your questions and your inquisitive nature.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, everyone. That's Lana Nelson, and she is the author of The Food Codes. It's over at thefoodcodes.com. We'll have that up at understandingautoimmune.com for you. And be sure and pop over to Facebook at Understanding Autoimmune. That's our feel-good page. We got all sorts of wonderful positive quotes up there for you, fantastic little quotes and thoughts. And we talk about the different shows and episodes and some of the best ahas out of each show. And everyone have a great week, whatever your adventures. Be sure and join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Take the next few moments now to get comfy. Move about all those little nooks and crannies. Shake your fingers and your toes. Take some nice, deep inhales. And extend the exhales. Letting it go with a sigh. That's right. The vibration of the sigh actually shakes loose all those internal nooks and crannies. So just take some nice deep inhales and exhales and let it go with a sigh. When you're ready, wander over to your favorite spot. You know the place where you enjoy all the colors, savor all the smells, play with the colors and the textures, just looking all around and relaxing deeper. That's right. Letting go of all the stresses of the day. taking a moment to enjoy your little mini vacation here. That's right. Feeling the breeze on your face and savoring the smells as you delight in the colors dancing about. Continue to breathe deep, letting go of all the stress in your body, knowing that you don't need the stress, that it's not serving a purpose, so let it go. Transform any little last inklings to a feeling of comfort and tingling. Enjoy the little tingles as it releases and let it go. That's right. Savoring and anchoring this moment, this place, this comfort, with a little roadmap marker in your mind, knowing that you can come back here any place, anywhere, anytime, and reactivate the stress-free moments to begin again, renew and refresh as you begin to come back to the present moment, awake, alert, and ready to begin your day again. That's right. Welcome back.